X-Men Season 2, Episode 8, Murder World.
Xavier's School for the Gifted. Inside the training center known to those that use it as the Danger Room. A training room that is, as of now, very much active.
All right, time for level 4. Ready?
Bring it on, Summers.
Ready when you are, lad.
Professor, I didn't know you were home.
Lelandra and I just now returned. How is it going?
Not bad, actually. They still aren't working as a team, other than a few combination moves Wolverine and Colossus have worked out. But they are trashing more of your equipment in a week than the old team did in a month.
A shame that none of it can prepare them for the likes of Magneto.
Yeah, but I can try. Get us as ready as I can before he makes his next move.
Lelandra's computers have picked up a new moon in Earth's lower orbit. An asteroid of some kind. And a huge chunk of Arctic below it had mysteriously gone missing. Like, something just scooped it from the face of the planet.
I didn't know he could do that. Earth isn't exactly metallic.
No, but gravity works because of the planet's magnetic poles. Something he manipulates at will to levitate. Evidently, that ability has grown.
That's some power.
More than I have ever seen, apart from Jean. Speaking of, when does she...
The two are cut off, looking down now towards the Danger Room main level below, where they see slabs of metal being pushed, brought together to form a box that now surrounds Storm and closes in.
Storm!
Peter calls out, the group looking over from their current activity towards the gradually shrinking box of metal.
Help me! Get me out!
Storm, use your powers. Get yourself out. You can do it.
I can't!
Inside the box, Storm is frozen in terror, quivering as she shrinks into a fetal position, tears streaming down her face.
Get me out! Get me out!
Storm's mind is filled with images, flashes of memory, of a house on fire, of a little girl trapped beneath the wreckage, of a world destroyed.
I am coming, Aurora!
Colossus runs over, bringing his massive armored hands down upon the metal, and with great effort, rips the side, the slab of metal off, and throws it away. The Danger Room now powers down. Peter now reaches in, helping Storm out of her confinement as the rest of the team gather round.
It is all right, Aurora. I have you. I am here.
He looks up as the main door parts, Cyclops and Xavier rushing in concern.
Aurora, are you all right, child? What happened?
I do not know. I need to rest for a while.
Of course. Take the day.
Scott watches, looking over to the professor as Storm slowly leaves the room.
I do not understand. We have faced far worse than a small metal box. What happened to her?
Some people have buttons, Elf. Things that reduce them to scared kids again. I guess Storm just found hers.
A couple of hours later, Storm sits alone in her garden loft, not moving, not speaking, just staring into nothingness in thought, when a knock comes from the door.
Yes? Who is it?
It's Jean. Can I come in?
Of course. I was not aware that you were coming.
I promised Scott and the professor I would drop by. I'm glad I did. I heard what happened. Are you okay?
I am fine.
Wow. I like what you've done up here. Puts the gardens to shame. Hey, listen. The Danger Room can be a scary place. I know I was freaked out when I started using it, but I have watched you in battle, Aurora. You barely even frown. Your face is like calm, determined statue. I didn't think you could be scared.
I am uncomfortable in tight spaces.
You're claustrophobic, I know.
I have not heard the word. How do you know?
I was in your head, remember? Back on that other planet. I know more about you than my own family.
All of it?
Images, mostly. Fleeting. Nothing that makes much sense other than your claustrophobia. The terror you felt under the rubble.
I was a child. So young, I barely remember anything before it. My father was an American journalist. My mother was the princess of a tribe in Kenya. They decided to move to Egypt at the wrong time.
War?
Yes. An airstrike destroyed my home, killed my parents, and left me buried under tons of wreckage. When the rescue workers found me, I was nearly dead. But I was under there for a long time. I suppose that is what causes my fear.
Of course. Is that when you became a thief?
Aurora looks up at Jean, regarding her for a moment in surprise.
You do know me?
Oh, like I said, random images. Moments, sounds, feelings. I know you have had a hard life. And you finally found happiness as a goddess. Something you gave up to be here with us.
Yes.
Do you regret it?
Of course not. Xavier has allowed me to return to my homeland, a country I was born into but never knew.
Monroe isn't exactly an African name.
No, it isn't. I have been trying to find my father's family since I returned, with no luck.
You'll find them.
Jean moves her hand over to place it upon Aurora's.
Thank you for sharing this with me.
As you said, you already knew a lot of it. And I would like to think that we are friends.
I'd like that.
It is strange. I used to call myself a goddess because of simpler people's ignorance. But now I hold the hand of a true goddess. Someone who has power over life and death itself. And she is more human than anyone I have ever known.
Across the state in that moment, a man wakes in the dark.
What in the... Where am I?
Welcome, Governor. Sorry about the lights. I'll get those in a moment.
Who? What is this?
This, Governor, is revenge.
For what?
You had my theme park shut down, condemned it as being unsafe. That park was my life. It was the best in town. Everyone knew it.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Of course you don't. I'm sure that was one of several lives you ruined that day. I wonder how many hundred it has been since. Well, you've tarnished your last.
What? What do you want? Money? You won't get away with this. People will look for me.
Yes, but they won't find a trace. Miss Locke, would you be a dear and get the lights for our dear fellow?
The governor cries out as all around him are massive, robotic white rabbits, each with a terrifying grin, red glowing eyes, and a knife in each hand.
See, that theme park was the best in state at the time. But now there's a new amusement park open and you are one of its inaugural guests. Welcome to Murder World!
A few meters away in the park's control center, the man known only to his employees and clients as Arcade sits in bemusement, exhaling as he sits back in his chair. He is dressed in an all-white suit with a large, almost comical bow tie over a purple shirt beneath.
I'm bored.
But you just got your revenge. We are making money hand over fist with the contracts we have carried out.
Yes, but killing people like any old hitman is just boring. I want to put my marvelous theme park against someone who will actually fight back.
We could arm them.
Boring, 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 no. What we need...
Arcade looks over towards the screen on his far left, of which is playing the news and showing replays of the X-Men in action.
Is them. We need some muties.
Sir, we have been through this before. For all your obsession with these X-Men and their kind, you have no idea how to find them.
Because I wasn't trying. But what I didn't realize is that I can bring them to me. And it just so happens I just finished the way to do it.
The Xavier Mansion. The kitchen where most of the group are gathered.
Are you okay, Aurora?
I am fine, Peter. Thank you.
Everyone! The news! You must see! Quickly, now!
Scott straightens and walks over, bringing up the remote from the counter and pressing on the kitchen television.
We don't know where he came from or how he is still alive, but as you can see behind me, that is clearly the mutant terrorist Magneto tearing up Midtown.
No, not yet. We aren't ready.
Speak for yourself, leader man. I'm ready for round two.
You will have Phoenix this time, Scott. Assuming you wish to help Jean.
You're damn right I do.
With that, the X-Men pack into the second Blackbird and shoot off towards the city. And as Xavier watches them leave.
That's the security alarm. Someone has breached the sub-basement.
Midtown, New York. The caped figure of Magneto hovers high above the street, raining down death and destruction on the unfortunate bystanders below.
The era of the humans is over.
Just down the street, ahead of the police perimeter, the Blackbird touches down and the X-Men emerge.
Wolverine, Colossus, you two stay back unless I call you in.
Understood.
Fine.
Storm, Jean, you're our big guns. Get up there and blast him with all you have. The rest of us will provide ground support.
Scott!
Hmm?
Code names, remember? I'm Phoenix now. May as well embrace it.
Alright. Storm, Phoenix, move out.
Yes, sir.
He shall not escape us again, Cyclops.
The two use their powers, rising to the sky to meet their caped foe.
Our time is at hand. The era of the humans is over.
As they run in beneath him, Nightcrawler frowns, his furry blue-skinned forehead furrowing at what his yellow eyes see.
Is it me, or is he just repeating himself?
What do you mean?
The conversation is cut off as Magneto is struck with the woman's blasts, exploding into many pieces and falling from the sky, lifeless.
My point, Herr Cyclops, is that that isn't Magneto.
Cyclops peers across the street, looking at the metallic robotic wreckage of Magneto. The costume torn to reveal the metallic chassis beneath.
You know, I think you're right.
But before they can say another word, before they even realize what is happening, there is the sound of a blast. And then all is washed out in white. When the world fades in again, it is no longer white, but blackness that they see.
What? Where?
Welcome, 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 my friends, to Arcade's Murder World. I am so happy to have you, especially after all the trouble I went through to get you here.
You? You made a robotic Magneto? How? Why?
The how, Cyclops, was it? It's very simple. I knew that Magneto would draw the X-Men out like he always does, especially when attacking poor innocents. So I merely used my genius to create a robot that would give the illusion of his power, dressed up using the pictures on TV, added the voice clips, and voila! The why is because I was bored. Murder World is the greatest in assassination amusement parks. Hell, what am I saying? It's the only assassination amusement park, and it deserves to be truly tested.
Where are the rest of my team?
Oh, in their own separate boxes here in this entire conversation. Say hi, X-Men.
Even Phoenix?
The Firebird girlie? No, couldn't knock her out with the rest of you. So I just bombed her and hope she didn't get up. Didn't see her after the Big Bang. Was quite a light show. Very pretty.
If you hurt her, I'll...
Now, I'd worry about yourself, Cyclops, if that is your real name.
At Arcade's command, the large room is now illuminated.
Welcome to my Lady or the Tiger room. You have three doors in front of you. One, the way out. The other two lead to death. Horrible, horrible death. The choice is yours.
Thanks.
My pleasure, and just to give you an incentive to make up your mind. Oh, you should know there's a trigger relay connecting the doors with a hydraulic ram on the wall directly behind you. The second you open a door or blast it with your I-beams, that moving wall will slam the rest of the way across the room. That gives you one play. Make it count.
Back in the control room, Arcade shuts off the microphone.
Ah, poor Cyclops. You won't know until it's too late that behind every door is a concrete wall. Sure, there's a way out of that trap, but he won't find it by trusting me.
Are you talking to me, boss?
I'm monologuing like any good villain would. They at least deserve one last good villain before they diamond slot.
Of course.
Now let's check in on that metal guy. What do they call him back in New York?
Colossus.
Ah yes, he seems quite at bay with my rings of fire. But the one Cyclops called Wolverine, he seems very confused by my funhouse of mirrors. He'll like it even more once I do this.
What the?
Wolverine can only react as the mirrors move back and produce three killer robotic Wolverines.
See how you like these creature claws, Wolverine? I made that one custom just for you. How after you'll die to your namesakes. Although these ones actually look like real Wolverines, unlike you. Wolverines aren't yellow, you idiot. Who designed that monkey suit of yours? But time to change the channel. Let's see.
Arcade now chuckles as he watches Nightcrawler contend with, of all things, killer bumper cars with saw blades mounted in front of them, coming from all angles and forcing him to teleport over and over, and getting weaker with each. Arcade leans down to speak into the microphone.
You can't hold out forever, Blue Boy. You'll at least lose that tail of yours. Eventually, you won't have the energy left to teleport yourself, and you will die.
Why would you do this? What kind of a sick madman are you?
Now for the Irish guy.
He changes the channel, seeing Banshee contending with automated planes, Spitfire-like in design, and firing very real bullets down upon him. Sean just able to scream one apart, but still having to contend with three others.
This is utter madness. Who melts all this shit?
Now this is fun. This is what I designed my murder world to do. But for that storm broad, I have left the best for last.
Arcade now switches to the room in which Storm has been placed. A simple metal box, barely bigger than a closet. That would be bad enough. But now, with the touch of a dial, the room begins to fill with water.
Let's see how that little weather witch likes drowning. See if she can control that element.
Inside Storm's ever smaller and smaller room, inside her head...
No, no, this cannot be. How can this madman know of my fear? Has he scanned my mind? Does he know what I fear most? I must do something. I must fight back, but I can't. Wait, what is that? Water rushing in. I will drown! The walls are metal. My lightning will have no effect. No gust of wind is strong or precise enough to stop the water filling the room. I am helpless here, with no way out.
And that, Storm, is the very idea. Meanwhile, back in New York, Jean Grey's eyes begin to open.
What? Where am I?
You okay, miss?
Huh? Yes, I think so.
Jean strains as she stands, holding her head, and looking over as rescue workers and a few police officers surround her.
What? How did I... Where are the others?
There was an explosion. You fell from the sky. That was hours ago. We wanted to help you, but...
But we are handing you over to the army.
I'm afraid I can't let you do that. Where are my friends?
You mean the other X-Men?
The officer now draws his gun. the others doing the same and pointing them at her.
Hands up! You freaks are gonna pay for all the people you hurt today.
Was anyone killed?
Thankfully, no, but a lot of casualties.
Oh, thank God.
I said hands up!
Listen, officer. I was just hit with, well, it felt like at least a heat-seeking missile. And it just knocked me out for a few hours. Do you really think those things can hurt me?
The cop stands there, nervously shifting, as beside him, the other two look for orders.
Now please, I don't want to hurt anyone, so stand back.
Jean's eyes seem to burst into flame, the rest of her body engulfed in the fires of the Phoenix. Those around her quickly doing as she said, with haste.
Thank you.
With a blast of fire and a screech that echoes for miles, Phoenix blasts off into the air and away. Once airborne, she tries to make contact.
Scott! Scott! Anyone! Can you hear me?
Red?
Jean? Jean, is that you? Are you all right?
It's me. I'm fine. Just a little shaken. Where are you?
I don't know. We've been captured by some madman who calls himself Arcade. He says we're in somewhere called Murder World.
Who are you talking to? Make a choice now, or I'll crush you with that back wall.
Murder World? Never heard of it. Let me see through your eyes.
That won't do us any good. I'm in some sort of death trap room. The others are too.
Wait, wait. This psycho ranted something about this being the best park he ever built. About it rising from the ashes of his old one. Something like that.
10 seconds.
I'll see what I can find.
Nine,
hold on, everyone. I'm
eight,
coming.
Seven.
Don't take too long,
six,
Jean.
Five.
Okay, all right, damn it. I'll choose. He won't give me any more time. Gotta choose now. But even if he's telling the truth, even if I am lucky enough to pick the right one, I'd just be playing his game by his rules. My only chance is to do something unexpected.
And, not far away.
I'm holding my own for now. But each time I trash one of these robots, out pops a replacement. Stronger and faster than the one before. They're working as a team, too. Hemming me in, keeping me from smashing the mirrors or reaching the exit. Wearing me down. Huh? What the?
Wolverine turns, seeing the robots now destroyed, and Cyclops coming out from the other side of the now broken wall, from where the blast came.
Psych! For once, I'm happy to see ya.
Likewise, Wolverine. You okay?
Yeah. Your eye beams must have zapped the machinery. Mirrors have stopped sending out those freaky robots. Just fine by me. Let's move.
The two move, using Cyclops' optic blasts to break down wall by wall and rescuing each of the teammates from their peril. But even as they work together, saving first Colossus and then Nightcrawler from their traps, Storm is running out of space.
This is it. The water is about to pass my mouth.
Aurora!
Jean?
I'm close. I know where you are, and I'm on the way. The others are almost to you. You need to hold on. You have to fight back. You have to overcome it. Scott says that each room has a way out. You just have to find it.
I cannot. There is no way out.
Yes, there is. Now move it. You can do it, Aurora.
Storm's eyes grow narrow, her face becoming stern. She then takes a deep breath as she is submerged. She gets to work, quickly removing her cape and boots, which will allow her better movement. She then swims as fast as her limbs will take her around the small box, until she noticed it. A circular groove, one that looks like an entrance. She has to act fast, swimming down and pulling at it, trying to get it loose. But there is no grip. And she is not strong enough to pull it open, even if there were.
I need air. I am fading. Come on! If I could strike the box with lightning, the water would electrocute me. A quicker and less painful death than drowning.
She stops, and then notices what looks to be a lock upon the opening. Inside, she smiles, but she knows she doesn't have long. Aurora reaches up into her black headdress, from it, removing a lockpick.
Arcade must have put me into this box through this opening. No doubt there is another, harder way to escape. But he did not know that this weather witch was once a child thief. And old habits die hard.
Aurora brings the lockpick down and gets to work, moving it about with as much skill as she can concentrate for, trying to ignore the feeling that comes with the last gasps of air leaving her lungs. And finally, it works. The lock coming loose, and the door to the outside world is opened. She dives, letting the water rush out through the hole, carrying her to the floor below, falling with a yell before finally gasping for air.
Ororo!
She raises her head weakly to see Peter, the other X-Men, but for Banshee, rushing towards her.
Ororo, are you okay?
Yes. Yes, I think so, Peter. Thank you.
Whoa, how did you manage to get out of there?
I still have a few old tricks up my sleeve. Or my headwear, at least.
Glad you're all right, Storm. Now, just for Banshee.
What about me? Seriously, who is this guy? I mean, who builds killer robot planes?
Someone with vision and creativity. Speaking of which, Magneto wasn't the only custom job I made for you all. Imagine if my death traps had killed you. What a waste these would have been.
What?
The X-Men regroup, turning in confusion towards the darkness where the only things visible are five pairs of red, glowing eyes.
Please tell me those aren't real-life Terminators.
Sentinels?
Too small.
They don't have to wait long. From the shadows now emerges five life-sized robots of the original five X-Men.
You have got to be kidding me.
How do you like them, Cyclops? Do you know how much news footage I had to watch to get them just right? Though looking at you now, I think you're a little tall. No worries, though. I'll use your body as a template for some improvements once you're all dead. Hell, I'll make ones of all of you.
This is starting to get ridiculous.
And really scary at the same time. I've heard of stalkers, but this guy?
Enough talk. Bang!
With the touch of a switch, the five robotic X-Men advance. The Cyclops and Iceman getting into familiar poses and firing. The real McCoys scattering from the blast.
They have their powers. How is that possible?
Same way the Magneto one had his. Obviously some sort of simulation of them built in.
The battle is fierce, raging between both sides as the X-Men of the past face off against the X-Men of today. Wolverine trying to come in on them, but getting blasted back across the room by a simulated telekinetic blast from Jean. Logan just able to roll between some boxes next to Nightcrawler to avoid an optic blast from the Cyclops machine.
Damn it. If I could just get close to them, I could trash them.
He then looks over towards his blue demonic friend, getting a wry smile upon his face.
Elf, port me behind him.
Ha Yes, at once, my friend. Hold on.
Wolverine holds on to his teammate's back, and with a flash of smoke, the two appear behind the Iceman bot. Sparks fly as it falls to its knees. Wolverine then swings one hand and decapitates it. With a sneer, Wolverine stands, a large smile of satisfaction on his face.
You enjoy that far too much.
Not gonna lie. Yeah.
The two then reel back as a massive metal fist belonging to Colossus drives the wrecked Angel robot to the ground.
Shall we agree not to tell our old comrades of this?
Peter, that is a very good idea.
A few miles away, the being and woman calling herself both Jean Grey and Phoenix blazes across the sky when a familiar voice comes into her mind.
Jean, can you hear me?
Yes, Professor, I hear you. Where have you been?
Occupied. It is a long story, but the short version is that I have found a man calling himself Warhawk in our sub-basement. He wouldn't give me any other name, Lelandra and I were able to incapacitate him before he saw too much, before he sent the information that he was gathering. But his mind was blank, as if someone had erased it the moment he was discovered. How he, or his employers, knew of our base is something we've been trying to—
We can worry about that later. Right now I need to find the rest of the team. They've been kidnapped by a psychopath calling himself Arcade.
Yes, I know. I got in contact with them a moment ago. They seem to be holding their own.
Yes, but where? Wolverine said something about the theme park being built on the ashes of a past one.
Given the timescale, we have to assume that they are in the state. I will see what I can find on abandoned amusement parks in the New York area.
Please hurry. I'll continue searching.
Back at Murder World, Arcade now hisses in furious rage as the last of his X-Men are destroyed.
Too easy. I made this too easy. This isn't how this was meant to go.
You didn't expect this? They are a team of metahumans. A few walls and machines will hardly slow them down.
Shut up, unless you want to join them down there. Now what do I do next? What to do? What to do? Perhaps if I send every combat robot I have, screw the gimmicks. What the, Miss Locke? When did you repair the Magneto unit?
Didn't.
Ah, so that's why he looks so real. Hi there, big fan.
Leave now.
Leaving, Miss Locke. Grab the... Okay, screw the junk. Run! Sorry about using your image. Won't happen again. Toodles.
With narrowing eyes, the shadowed form of Magneto hovers down to peer into the multiple screens showing the X-Men in the park. He then turns with a start towards the exit, towards them. An hour later, the Phoenix arrives.
Hope I made it in time. Scott? Scott, why don't you answer me? Professor?
I am not picking up any of them. They are either unconscious or...
Phoenix lands, her fire forming back into her body. She looks around. Concerned. Confused.
Scott? Anyone? Where are you?
She searches the remains of the abandoned park for what feels like hours, finding nothing until she hears a voice in the distance.
The nerve of that guy. I set all this up, planned it, executed, pretty much do what he couldn't even do, and defeat the X-Men.
Questionable.
And what does he do? Ruin everything. Oh, huh? Oh, hi there, Firebird.
The name's Phoenix.
Okay. Phoenix. Sorry about the missile. Wow, your cat suit isn't even scorched. Where did you get that, by the way? I must have the number for that tailor.
Where are the X-Men?
I didn't kill them, promise. God knows I tried. I don't know where they are. Magneto showed up.
Magneto?
Yeah, he basically gave me the hands-off look, and I did not argue. Trapped them in one of my old trailers and took off. That's the last I saw of them, I swear.
Then why can't I contact them?
No cell phone signal?
Ugh.
He must have found a way to block us.
Yeah, that's Magneto, all right. I'm going after them.
But we do not know where he is taking them.
Oh, I have an idea. You!
Jean turns back towards Arcade and Miss Locke as they try and skulk away.
I'll be back for you.
With a blazing cry of the Phoenix, she is airborne again, heading for Antarctica, as below, Arcade scoffs.
It's a good thing I won't be here when you get back.
Meanwhile, back at the mansion.
What the?
Xavier yells out, throwing his Cerebro headset off as it sparks and surges with electricity. The panel before him doing the same. And then, going dark.
Oh no. No. No, no!
Charles? What is wrong with it?
Warhawk. He must have sabotaged it somehow. That was his real mission here.
His mission for who?
I don't know. But one thing is for certain. Without Cerebro, I cannot enhance my powers. I can't contact the team. They are on their own.
X-Men Season 2, Episode 8, Murder World, starring Tyree Peterside as Storm, Natalie Winter as Phoenix, Rex Anderson as Wolverine, Omri Rose as Cyclops, Stephen Chesterton as Colossus, Ryan Lawton as Nightcrawler, Jason Rivers as Charles Xavier, Thaddeus Gilmer as Arcade, Dara Seitzman as Miss Locke, Emmy Gibson as Lalandra, Daniel Earle as Magneto, Christopher Stone as the Governor, Steve Porter and Peter Felix as the cop and emergency worker, Chris Lewis as the newscaster. Music by Declan Gilgallon. Written and edited by Carl Dutton. Adapted from the works of Chris Claremont and John Byrne in Uncanny X-Men. X-Men is copyright of Marvel Entertainment. This is a fan production with no infringement intended.